Father, thank you this morning for New Season Christian Fellowship and all those workers that are with the kids today. I pray that they would have an amazing experience and you'd shine your light on those kids' hearts. Kids, Father, need you. Adults need you. 90-year-olds need you. Father, we all need you. I pray this year, Father God, we grasp more of you than we ever have before. You'd appear in our lives and in our hearts, Father God, and in the people that we know in such incredible ways that it shocks the world for your name. The church said amen. Amen. Our series is called Acts of the Apostles. And did you know that that's the actual name of the book of the Bible? Seriously, did you know that? Most of us go to the book of Acts, right? This is called the book of Acts. If you had to pick a multiple choice, you probably would, maybe some of you check, you'd write the book of Acts, but it's called the book. It's not the Acts of the Apostles. I know because for the longest time, I kept calling it that and kept a hard time finding it in my search, you know, when I was a kid. We had to get those, you know, those big books, Ed, those Strong's Concordance, like the kind you could stand on and be about 4 feet taller, flipping through looking. It's like, well, it's the book of Acts of the Apostles. So in our series, aka Book of Acts, I'm sure all the Hebrew kids, though, I mean, they kind of shorten stuff, I bet you. Like our kids, they short. Ever in a conversation with a young person, they shorten to something you don't know what they're talking about? Just initials, you're like, what's that supposed to mean? I know TY means thank you. Or that, you could lose me, you know? But kids in Israel probably like Deuteronomy is like dudes. Yeah, man, right, dudes. Jan, Genesis. You been Jan? I'm a Jan. You know, Jah, Book of John, you know, Jah 1, John 1, you know. But we're in Acts, you know, we're in the Acts of the Apostles. So there's 2 points I want to take from last week and pop them right up on to our book before we flash back. Know what God says and find out what God means when he says it. Right? When you give someone information, you want them not just hear what you say, but what you mean. Like when my wife says to me, clean the house, we have company, I need to know what that means. Because it used to be like, I'll just get some aerosol, you know, kick my laundry into the room. You know, clean. It's like, no, like sweep and mop and why your laundry in the living room anyways? I don't know. That's crazy. You know. You got to know what they said and then what's meant by that. And with God all the time, lots of people can quote what he says, but have a hard time living what it means. Should I say it again, Derek? Derek's like, say it again, Pastor. A lot of people can quote what he says, but have a real hard time living what it means. And I'd rather have one who lives what it means and knows what it says. Anybody say, I'm the church? That's right. That's what I'd rather have. I thank God, too. The second point we learned is obey him over all others, even yourself. Some baptism candidates, they're going to make that decision today, maybe. Those pressure can't be on them, but there's a decision to make. Am I going to now change everything I do in my life and filter it completely through Jesus and his word? And that's how I'm going to make almost all my decisions. It's like, well, like even the color of your shirt? If it comes to mind, ask him. I mean, ask him about anything. He'd be shocked. Be shocked. Little conversation. I had a small conversation. I threw something in a conversation this week to an old friend, and all it did was deconstruct his life and opened up and confess something that's happened to him that he's never told a soul in his life, and it was just because of a little seed. I didn't know. I had no idea. You never know how God wants to use those things. You have to be open to be changed and used. Right? It's a part of, it's not just what he says, it's what he means. We got to live that. I want to flash back. Remember Stephen? Steve said to the ancestors, he said to the people, he said, your ancestors were rebellious, you're rebellious, your nation's rebellious, you're rebellious. Over and over again, I kept sending you people to say, hey, straighten up. And you're like, yeah, we'll straighten up. We love God for about 4 minutes. And you go back to being rebellious. Your parents did it. Your grandparents did it. Their grandparents did it. Your whole nation did it. You're doing it. It's pretty much Stephen's, you know, message to them. People got bad patterns in their life, don't they? Ever know anybody with bad patterns? Cycles of rebellion towards God? If that's you, you got to fix that. And that was me. And sometimes I have a tendency, this is going to shock everyone, I have a tendency to be rebellious sometimes still. Like, I know, Hallie, you're like, Pastor, today it's not true. It's, I know, confessing my sins, one or another, that I might be forgiven. But it's true. Sometimes we have bad patterns. and you see someone that comes to you for advice over and over again because the same bad pattern in their life, and they want different answers. Ever have that? Don't raise your hand. You might have brought them with you. I don't know. But that can happen. Acts of the Apostles. Let's flash back to Acts 7:57. Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting, right? Stephen was kind of chewing them out, saying, you did this before God. And you're, you know, and they went with a nanny nanny boo boo. We can't hear you routine, like real mature leaders would. And then they rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Began. I'm going to slow roll, Jared. You're going to be like, you may have to be nudged. You're like, did the pastor move yet? You know, began to stone him. Stoning was a process. It was a process that crucifixion was a process. It wasn't fast and it wasn't pretty. Stoned to death. That'd be a brutal sight. Can you imagine? Anything from sadness to you can't look at it if you're in the crowd to throwing up. Cody and Alejandro brought me some stones today. I'd like you to bring me your stone. Yeah, they brought me an object lesson. I got one. Thank you, Andro. Thank you. Clap for Andro. What a great stone choice. Yes! Well, if the box take it, put it on the front row, right? Put it on that box. If we can't take it, we'll get Mark to fix it. Two excellent sized stones. No, that's what I was looking for. Both. I was hoping. I was like, should I provide different stones? And I said, no, I'll trust these guys are going to hear the Holy Spirit and bring the right stone. Seriously, those are the right stones. They began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats. Why? Why did they take off their coats? Because stoning was an interactive, bloody, messy death. So imagine, you either be in the crowd or be Stephen. And we got a bunch of guys, stand up. Just if you're a guy in the church, I'm not picking on ladies who are involved, I just want guys stand up for just a second. Imagine any of these guys, all of these guys, with this in their hands, and you're laying on the ground, and they're going as hard as they can until you're dead. All right, stay there, guys. Imagine, did you take this off the nose off the Sphinx? Are we in trouble? Wow, historical preservation. Imagine, guys, picking this up and dropping all sorts of size stones. Ever have all sorts of size stones thrown at you from all sorts of directions till you're dead? Guys, you can sit down. Thank you for the stones. Can you imagine? That's bloody. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. There's some foreshadowing. You're going to see a lot of this guy. And they laid them at the feet of the young man named Saul as they stoned him. Watch my coat. I'm going to do something super brutal. Yeah, I'm about to kill this guy. And I don't want my coat getting messed up. You know, I just got it from factory outlet, you know. It's tailor-made. It's, you know, I found this. I shopped all day at Goodwill for this one. I don't want blood and brains, sweat, human remains and feces on that coat. But I got to go kill this guy with my stone. Hold my coat, will you, bro? You feel that? As they stoned him, what does Stephen do? So Stephen prayed. Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He basically said, I accept my death. Here I come, Lord. Anybody ever been in that situation? Anybody ever been like you felt, honestly, you're at death's door and you're like, oh, Lord, take, I'm here. I've been there 1.5 times. Anybody else? I'm serious. I've been there 1.5 times. Samoa, I thought, here I go. I laid my head down. Thought I was done. I said, Lord, Jordan's going to have to explain this to his mom. See you in a minute. That's what I did. But imagine people are killing you and you're in that moment of peace. You know? Like, imagine that. Even the moment I have an anaphylactic shock, like some allergy test, you know? All of a sudden I'm fine and I'm not fine. Like, you're okay? Yeah, I'm cool. Cool? Yeah, you look good. You're sweating. Can you talk? I can talk just fine. Yeah, let me go home. I talk like this all the time. Can you breathe? Not really. You know, the guy EpiPens are jabbing me. Do we need to call your family? No, I can. This, we're good. But imagine someone there is stoning you to death and you did the absolute right thing. He didn't fight it. At the moment he was getting crushed, he didn't struggle. He didn't fuss. He prayed. And then he says he fell to his knees shouting. Shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. Say, Stephen. Come on, Stephen, right? Forgive them for this sin. Forgive them for this sin. Even if they are forgiven for that one, I'm sure they got other ones. They should run to Jesus for those. Don't leave any stone unturned when he's looking for a sin in your life. Like, don't fight it. Go, he's fine with me that. No, to ask him. He might be. Some people go, you shouldn't do that. Ask Jesus. Well, what does Jesus say? Check his word out first. A great place to find out what he has to say. Find out what he has to say. Then pray about what that means for your life. And I bet he'll tell you. And other than that, right? There are things we need to run to Jesus for and repent and get clean from. Like Mark and I sometimes, and Harold, we'll praise a little different on certain songs because we remember what we used to be and we're so grateful we're not that anymore. And we're still working on what we're supposed to do. We're not what we used to be. Anybody else? Come on. Yeah, like that's truth. That's why worship is like awesome because you're like appreciating that, you know. Ask yourself, though, am I a follower? Am I really committed to God as a disciple? Baptism is choosing Jesus and dying to what you want. It's a public declaration of yielding your life as dead, no longer under your own control. You declare you are officially his. And now we're going to live your life for him first. Right? Stephen, to the end. Let's pick up at that spot in Acts 8. Saul was one of the witnesses and agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. Saul was one of the witnesses and agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. Ever been wrong? Anyone ever been wrong? Raise your hand if you've ever been wrong. You people don't raise your hand. I'm nervous. You don't raise your hand and be like, well, I was wrong once. That was like 76, but I ain't been wrong since then. Been wrong once. You ever been wrong? Ever been dead wrong about something? Ever not like just wrong, but like you were dead wrong. The Bills are going to win this Super Bowl. You know how many times I said that? Four. It's like four times. I was dead wrong. Yeah, I gave up on football. You ever been wrong on something really big, like really big that affected your life, changed your relationships, caused some problem because you were so wrong? Man, I invested $1,000 in crypto SafeMoon. I bet bought some Russian stock. We were still friends. Those things aren't worth anything anymore. They're just dust in the wind. I swung and missed on those two. Yeah, I hear you. Feeling it. I swung and missed on friendships I thought I had in places that I thought it was safe, I could trust. Ever swing and miss there big? Boom. Have you ever been so wrong that you responded by attacking other people even though you were dead wrong? Come on, be honest. You ever attack somebody, if your first move is, no, I didn't, and you're like, ninja. Are we fighting? Yeah, we are. And then you're dead wrong? Well, I'm still fighting you. I'll find something that you did back in the day. And you're the one that's dead wrong. Man, I'll ask you, did you leave the butter out, Pastor Sean? Well, yes, it was me. Dead wrong. This young, ambitious guy named Saul thought he was serving God. Honestly, he thought he was serving God. And there's going to be a point made later that may make you uncomfortable. He thought he was serving God, but he didn't even know God. We'll prove it later. Why I say that? I'll prove it now, I guess. You know when he gets knocked off his high horse? What's the first thing he says? Who are you? I'm Jesus, who you've been persecuting. You didn't even know me, man. You're serving me and my Father, and this is what you're doing. Pah! Off your horse with you. I got a new plan for your life. Yeah, you're about to be all the way in. Your life's not your own. You're about to be the biggest vessel I use in the face of the earth to spread the gospel like no other name. God can change a guy like that. He was fully in on killing. Fully in. Thought he was serving God, slandering, humiliating, and killing God's people. It happens all the time. In a church near you. A great wave of persecution began that day. A great wave. Say, we have been warned. So here's where I'm already off this. Lord, help you all. This morning, about, I don't know, it's middle of the night time, I get a text just before bed from a country that's Middle Eastern and under 1% of wealth in the world. And I get a text from a young lady that's got a job there and is a Christian. And she said, there's a lot of stuff happening here with currency and different things. It's making me feel like, she sent me all the scriptures about Revelation, making me feel like he's coming back soon. Pray for me. And we hear that or say that in Christian circles, but let me tell you what this person's up against, because she said she'll watch our things sometimes or comment on posts. And she said, it's a very severe crime if they catch you ministering, communicating, or evangelizing in any possible way. If they catch you, that's severe crime here. Please pray for me that I would do well and my light would shine for Jesus and I would be unafraid and I would lay my life down to the losing of my head. And this lady is a high ball in. She makes more money than most of us in this room and she does stuff and she's planted in an Arabic country that frowns on women and frowns on Christians. And God put her there and I thought, how courageous. So I can't tell your name. I won't put her in danger, but pray. You don't know where God puts people. When you obey him, you'd be shocked. How many times I've been asked to go to Iraq and it hasn't been the time. But I'm not because I wouldn't give my life. He's got to tell her because as soon as he tells her, then I'm gone. If that's what the Lord said. I signed up for that when I said I was baptized. I was no longer mine. I was his to control. And that's to the point of if it's going to be stoned to death, then I'm stoned. If it's going to be losing friends, I lost them. Losing relationships and family, gone. Sleeping in a car in my parking lot of the church, there I was, making a stand for Jesus because everyone around me, gone. If we're not that committed to Christ, and I don't know if we're committed at all, and there's some really heavy-duty things in this last part that should make us go, all right, I'm punching back, you know. A great wave of persecution sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, except the apostles, were scattered. Sometimes you take a beating, and sometimes he says, take a boat, get out of there. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'd taken beatings before I didn't need to take, because I thought I needed to take them. Did you fight back? No, I was just a Christian. I just let them turn the other cheek. Well, that's the time you should have probably said something. Yeah, I'm learning. Sometimes I said something, I should have zipped that. More often than that, I should zip it when I say something. Ever do that? That's my big thing. Oh, my lips are out talking. I should have zipped it right there. Happens. All the believers except the apostles were scattered. The point is the church was scattered. Scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria, places that Jews weren't even allowed. It was an unfriendly place. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. I wonder where were those guys when Stephen was being attacked? I'm not casting a stone. They loved him enough to bury him. Sometimes people love you enough to bury you, but will they stand with you when you're under attack? Just lessons of life. We all say, I am the church. I'm a living stone. I'm a living stone. I'm not a killing stone. But Saul was going everywhere. Saul was on a mission. He was he was moving right up the religious food chain. Saul's becoming the guy, you know, he was. Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church, and he went from house to house. He was going in homes. They can do that where this lady's from. If they want to, they can go into her home anytime they want, drag her right down the street, and they can stone her in the public square. Because she told someone at work about Jesus, and they ratted her out. They can still drag you out of your houses and places in the world. We get comfortable here, but sometimes we shouldn't be. And our heart should go, I want to live that strongly for him. If that happened here, I want to be that guy. If you don't inspire to be Stephen, not that you like want to give your life, but if your heart relationship isn't to a place that you want to give your life for him, did you really receive the life that was given for you? Like, we got to check ourselves. Why? Because God wants us on point. This is the season. You feel it? You feel him tweaking stuff in your life? You're like, man, he's picking on little things in me. Or he's trying to get time with me like never before because he's about to do something and he wants time. He wants to talk to me. Anybody feel that? Yeah, thank you. Went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Am I committed to Jesus the way he was to me? Have I encountered God's love so deeply in Jesus that I would not forsake him? And how about this? Would I even scatter? Honestly, would I be willing to change locations if God really spoke to me and confirmed me and said, this is where I want you to go? Some things would be hard for me to hear. You know how I feel. I'm going to put this out there. But I never want to go to Siberia. Like, I never want him to go, hey, Siberia's on the list. Bundle up. Oh, Father. Like, I don't want to. I would if he said, but Lord, please, There are things, but I got to be willing. What if he said, hey, you know what? Leave your family and your friends. Go to a place tonight. I will show you. What if he says, move? What if he says stay when you feel like moving? Who's in charge? He is, right? I've encountered God's love so deeply that would I be scattered? Would I be willing to change my plans? Would I suffer? Who hates suffering? I really don't like it. It's not my top five, anyways, of things I enjoy. I don't like suffering at all. My hat's too tight. It's too warm in here. Turn up the AC, I'm suffering. You're suffering. It's 76. You wanted it 74. You're suffering. I really wanted it 73. Would I suffer? I pray that we never have to do any of these things. I really do. I pray that never happens to anybody in this room. But I also pray it's best to know that answer in your heart now for if that time ever were to come that you know how to answer that. It's important. Acts 8:4-8. But the believers were scattered. The believers scattered and they preached. They preached the good news about Jesus everywhere they went. So persecution scattering had the opposite effect the persecutors had intended. The church began to grow from persecution. How many people, I wonder though, and this is not picking on anybody here, but I've heard Christians fussing at work and complaining about something. And people go, man, if that's what a Christian's like, I don't want to go to their church. It's too hot in here. It's too hot in here. It's too hot in here. Pastor Shaw, settle down. You're giving us a bad rep. You're fussing over there. We all have the heat. Yeah, but I'm hotter than all of you. But when they're persecuted, they scattered. What did they do? They preached the good news. The church grew because of their words during hard times. The church grew because of their words during their hard times. That's authentic Jesus, huh, Miss Blanche? It's Philip, for example. Philip was scattered because of persecution. He got out of there. That's what God told him to do. Philip went like a good man. He was scattered. Hey, Philip, go. Okay, I'm out. Philip went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message. Say, that's awesome. You have no idea. Some places in the world where it's scary, in your life, there's scary places in your life that it's hard to bring Jesus to, and you're a little nervous about it. If not, then you're not hanging out with enough rough people. Get some rough people in your life. Hurry, find God to send you someone who needs something. But you know, the scary place where it's hard to send them sometimes, those are the places you see the biggest breakthroughs. Because they've been so dry and thirsty for so long, just someone give me life. Real life, not quoting some scripture at me, thumping some Bible, shouting at me some bullhorn, give me some video telling me how I should be a better person, not coming critiquing me and my holiness or not holiness. I'm talking someone who can love me like Jesus and it acts like it too. Send me those guys into the dark places of your life and you watch the church grow. Man, someone came into my darkness. Anybody ever come into your darkness? Phew, that's awesome. And see the miraculous signs he did. That's super cool too. Many evil spirits were cast out screaming as they left their victims. Screaming as they left their victims. And many who had been paralyzed, many, didn't say all, many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. Nod your head at your neighbor and do this. Go, Jesus still does stuff. Jesus still does stuff, right? Come on, Jesus still does stuff. Jesus still does stuff. I can't predict always what he's going to do. And most of the time, here's my faith the other night. It was a miracle happened, and I ruined it. My wife woke up, and she was having a hard time. She was, her heart felt low. She was racing. She was like, in the middle of the night, I was awake. You know, she's like, and I was like, are you okay? No, I feel so weird. I'm thinking, emergency room. Oh, no. So I thought, oh, why don't you pray? And so I laid hands on her. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you for that you touch Heidi. And all of a sudden, she was still. Didn't move. I went, oh, no. I went, hey. She goes, what? You woke me up. You just prayed that I go to sleep. You woke me up. I go, no. I didn't. Jesus does stuff. He just did something and I ruined it. Man. Sorry, Lord. But he does bigger stuff than that. But I love when he does little stuff. I love today I had one mint left in my container. Because I just imagine from the microphone you can smell my breath if it's not. You know, so I'm like, praise God, Destiny, there was a mint in there. I was like, she was looking at my bag like, Pastor, would you forget your sermon notes, didn't you? She was like, no, found me a mint. Many who had been paralyzed and many who were lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. You know, when a city's really received God, joy breaks out. It only makes sense. When someone first finds Jesus and they find their hearts have been wrecked and they first get joy should be the first thing to respond. Like, woo, I feel that weight off me. I feel that, right? Acts 8, 9 through 13. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria. It's going to step on toes, but here we go. Witchcraft, sorcery, voodoo, mystics, crystal balls, all of it's no bueno. Say no. Bueno, a man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria, and claiming to be someone great. That's almost always a red flag. When you meet someone and they're claiming to be great, how many times has that gone like, oh, this guy, right? Go raise your hand. Like, yeah, okay. Or that lady, she comes to the office. She's great. Everyone knows it, right? When's she leaving? Claiming to be great. That's a red flag. Claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. Uh-oh. There's only one with that title. If you're doing something in someone's life and they just love you so much, like Jake, you're awesome. Thanks for helping me. You know, when I had a flat on the side of the road, you're the one. You are the Messiah. You are the one from God. Think, woo! Jake should go, get up! Don't do that! I won't help you with your tire again if you do that. But this guy was like, yeah, that's me. Did that, helped with the tire. Pretty awesome. The great one, you know. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. Listen, some magic might be real, but it's not godly and it's not good. It's just some guy's magic. It's some guy's magic. How many ladies been bamboozled back in the day by some guy's magic? He was magical for about 10 minutes. Then I want to chop him in the throat, you know? But now the people believe Philip's message. Man, what? Authentic Jesus shows up, you can go with fake and not. When authentic Jesus shows up, you see magic tricks for what they are. But the people now believe Philip's message and the message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, the anointed one. That's why Christ is tacked on there. It means he's the one. He's the anointed one, not this other clown. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. That's cool. He began following Philip wherever he went. Now, being me, when I first read that, I went, come on, bro, give me some space. Like, I wouldn't like that. You know, imagine, like, you just gave someone Jesus and, like, they're always outside your front door. Where are you walking out? Where are you going? They're 5 paces behind you at Walmart. You're like, bro, wherever you went, hey, man, this is the restroom. I know it's public, but I just need some space. That would bother me. Why is this guy always following Philip, man? Why? And wherever he went, he followed him, and he was amazed by the signs and great miracles that Philip performed. Say, God still does stuff. Simon believed. It says he believed and was baptized, but he did not really get it yet. Ever see someone that believed? Made a commitment, but you know they didn't get it yet. Like, do you know what you mean? Yeah. No, I know. I'm hard. You know, seriously, you're going in there. I don't want to take these girls into bed for Stuyvesant. We did. I don't want to do that. It's like, no, we're tough. No, you're from. You're not tough. Not that tough. Are you sure you want to do this? Yeah. I don't think you get it, but okay. Maybe they heard his words, but they missed the meaning. Baptism, don't let it just be a symbol. Baptism, whoever's being baptized today, weigh it out. Like, don't let anybody push you into it. And don't do it without feeling it. You got to weigh it out because it represents your soul. You should weigh it out and decide, does this represent? Do I want to live for God like this? Am I completely surrendered to my own death? That's a big commitment. And you do it before witnesses and you choose to. So it's like getting married. Go, hey, keep me on point. What? I'm getting baptized. I'm going to be dead to me. I'm going to do whatever Jesus wants. And I want you to be there, not to throw stones at me when I screw up. Not to throw stones at me when I screw up, because you will. But to come alongside me as a brother and go, remember, you were dead to that. I love you, bro. Harold and I are talking about this. I love you, man. Someday you got to pull up your brother and go, I love you, but come on. Done intentionally with witnesses. And this guy, Simon, he seemed to get it, right? He seemed to get it. Acts 8, 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there, which this is cool because I hear there's something going on in Fiji. There's revival. And then someone I know, like Apostle John, I call him Apostle John, he goes. He's taken off to Fiji. What? There's revival. We need someone here to structure things and teach and that knows God. And then Tanzania, right? Remote places. He sends people. Dubai. Remote places. He sends people. And not everybody's hardness is the same. What Miley's attack is right now is, I guarantee, not what she thought it was going to be. Because I know Miley. And Miley's ready to give her. Where's Pastor Sharon? Put your hands over your ear and go, la. She's ready to give her life. Miley's no joke. She's like, I know if I go to Tanzania and they say, Jesus or not, we're cutting off your head. She'll go, I'm headless. Right? Anybody that knows Miley, she's in. But the attack she's experiencing now is harder because she wasn't prepared for that. God's teaching her something else that's a hard lesson. Pray for her. She's in Tanzania and she's still, right? She needs us. She needs us praying. Fiji needs us praying. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit, the authentic Holy Spirit, is a big priority. Like, if you have never asked the Holy Spirit to come and baptize you sincerely, I encourage you to do that. And if you know someone that sincerely walks in it, they're not hokey and they're not weird, and they actually have the Holy Spirit in their life, you've seen the fruit of that, grab those people and ask them to lay hands on you and say, would you believe with me? Would you baptize me right now in the Holy Spirit? If that's never happened to you, pull up and do that. Man, it'll change your life. it'll change your life. That's something he wants in our lives. That's what the reason he said, I got to go. Why? Send you my spirit. Holy Spirit's a game changer. But there's other spirits in the world. You know that? Similar spirits, familiar spirits, bad spirits, right? The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. I pray if you don't have that in your life, seek God for that. Because it'll change everything. Acts 8:18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid his hands on the people, remember he was always all over that minister, you know. He offered them money to buy this power. Ooh, stop right there. Here's a real question that I think you know the question I'm going to ask, but how about this one? I wonder if it would tempt the apostles. Man, we could help the poor. Man, we could justify that. Like, it's like, yeah, we're going to lay hands on them anyways. Let's just get a little something for the poor. Or maybe this, you know, this could be our new Holy Spirit side hustle. We'll set up a booth, like, need hands. My Holy Spirit, $10. I hope not. I hope they weren't tempted, but I've seen people that are. I've seen people do that. I prayed on this, and I prayed over it. And for $19.95, you can buy it online because I prayed over it. Oh, is that uncomfortable? I should get back. That's a stone. Put it down, Pastor Sean. But the question should be asked, and it doesn't look like Simon get it, did he? He didn't look like he got it. If he had got it, he'd never ask that question. He offered them money to buy this power. This power. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed. Let me have this power. Woo, if I had this power, you know what I could do with this power? Man, I'd pay anything for this power. This power so that when I come on, right, when I lay my hands on the people, then they will receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter replied, that feels icky, bro. No, he didn't say that. Imagine, that feels icky, bro. But Peter replied, he knew that this believer needed some correction. He pulled up to him, Harold. He pulled up to him right here. But Peter replied, may your money be destroyed with you. He replied pretty hard. May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. Then he drops this. You can have no part. You can have no part. For your heart is not right with God. At this point, if someone were to say that to you, what would your response be while you're being stoned? Would it be, I'm unjust? Would you fight back? Would you go, wait a minute, maybe I should check my heart? If I'm really a disciple and that ticks me off and it was the word and somehow maybe it got served poorly or maybe it got served well, no matter how it gets served, it's going to make you uncomfortable. But some things need to make us uncomfortable to really check where our hearts are at, right? You can have no part. It's not right with God. Then he says, repent of your wickedness. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you your evil thoughts. Sin is not just deeds. Sin is not just deeds. I didn't write it. It's just that's what it is. Some things we got to repent from that we constantly think about as opposed to that we constantly do. Anybody? Yeah, right. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and held captive by sin. Wow, that's a hard one. Pray to the Lord for me. Look at this guy's response. He doesn't go, you. No. Well, you want to fight? I got a stone too. No, this guy's response is awesome. He says, pray to the Lord for me. He exclaimed it. That's a great response. It's a good response. Great would have been Simon examining himself and whatever his stuff was and going right to the Lord himself. You can do that. He made a way, right? But he says, pray that these terrible things you said won't happen to me. I wonder if you heard about Ananias and Sapphira. I wonder if, like, man, that got around too. They were fake and then carried them out. It's a bad church day. After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem. And they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. You know, sometimes I'm hesitant to go with my friend Apostle John on missions trips because he never gives me like a time frame. When we're leaving lots of times, but when we're coming back is really vague. Because like he'll be like, hey, since we're in American Samoa, let's go down to Fiji. Well, since we're in Fiji, why don't we go to Vanuatu? Well, we're in Vanuatu, we should go to New Zealand because, bro, I got to get home. I think the point is that wherever we go in our life, we got Samaritan lives, right? We're for people in our lives and our family that have no idea who Christ is, they've been hurt, or they're living the opposite, we should be bringing Jesus there. And we should bring him to our brother. And we should be bringing him to our home, right? We bring Jesus. He does stuff. Acts 8:26. As for Philip, here's a great story. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south. Huh? Imagine that. That's all you get. Go south. Christian, go south. Like, we live in Arizona. Like, you're talking how far south? You know? That'd be my question. Like, Lord, like, what do you mean by south? Like, Florence? South? What do you mean? Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. When it comes to God, obedience is key. Even does it make sense? Obedience is key. So he started out. Here's a great thing if you're a note taker. This is going to change your life. Starting out, starting is the key to accomplishing. Let me say it again because it sounds so simple. Starting is the key to accomplishing. How many things that you want to accomplish you've never started yet? Man, I got 14 exercise programs I wrote up just last month. I'll be starting them up north for 30 days. So he started out. God said something to him. He went, I'm on it. Start now. He started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. He's just on his road south and runs into this yoked guy socially under the Candace, queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Worship is a great place to meet God. He's going to Jerusalem. He wants to hear from God. If I can beg you to do nothing else on a Sunday morning, if you want to, like halfway through the message, you just look at your clock, go, man, it's 11:30, I'm bouncing. I'll go, all right, I get it. I try to get you out by 11:45, but bounce on me at 11:30, you're welcome. But give everything you got in worship. Give him everything you can muster up to give him. And watch how he'll show up in your heart. Like, worship is a great place to meet him. It's a great place. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning seated in his carriage, and he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Acts 8:29. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside that guy's carriage. They'd be like, look, see that dude rolling up in his Mercedes? Yeah, you go over there in your Pinto. Just cruise up next to him, you know? Do they make Pintos anymore? Us old people go, I know what you're talking about. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk alongside that carriage. And Philip ran over. Say, obedience is key. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, walk over there, get alongside that carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. So Philip's like, okay. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? You may hear the words, but do you know what it means? Do you hear the words, but do you really know what it means? That's an important question. Do you understand? Do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I understand unless someone teaches me? God will send you people sometimes to give them what you do have. That's the point. You take that away. You go, man, I just been serving Jesus 14 minutes. Good. Because there's someone that's only been serving him 8 minutes behind you somewhere. There might be someone who's never, ever would serve Jesus at all. And you got 8 minutes of Jesus. Give him 8 minutes. like what you have, take it where you go. You don't know how someone's life is going to get changed because you pulled up to them in the cereal aisle. And the Holy Spirit said, if they grab for a honeycomb, walk over to them and tell them how I'm like the honeycomb. You're like, I am not doing that. Oh, no way. They're grabbing the honeycombs. And all of a sudden, Cassie grabs Tommy's arm. He's like, what are you doing, Cassie? It's like, God wants me to go talk to the honeycomb lady. You never know, Cass. If that happens, you get a hold of me right away. And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. You notice that Phil didn't force his way into the guy's car to preach at him? God sent me to you, Ethiopian eunuch. You don't even know what you're reading, do you? Good thing he sent me. No. He said, hey, do you understand? And the guy said, no, I'd love to. And he said, why don't you come up in here and talk to me about it? Must have approached him pretty well. He didn't force his way into the car. He was invited. If you live a life for Christ and it's real, people will invite you into their hardship. They'll invite you into their misunderstandings. And just give them what you have. As authentic Jesus as you got, give it to them. And he urged Philip to come to the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb is silent before his shearers, and he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? Perfect. Philip knew God's word, and right here he knows exactly what it means. He just had the Holy Spirit. He's just walked, right? He knows. He wasn't one of the original 12. He had the Holy Spirit, and he knew the word. Acts 8:35. Then Philip spoke, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him, explaining that he is the promised Messiah and the source of salvation. As they continued along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch exclaimed, look, water. So all of a sudden, when you get Jesus into your life and you know you've been forgiven, you get that revelation, it just comes on. I was anti-God for like so many years, though I was raised in a phase of the body of Christ for many years, went to school in it. I came out anti-God. Well, maybe not anti-God, but anti-everything I thought was God. Was there a God? Maybe was my question. But when I first found him, and this is true about every disciple that I know, when he really comes in your life and changes you, you're looking for that moment to go, I need to be baptized. I might have been baptized as a kid, but I'm in. Why? I need to make the decision. I was a baby. They poured water in my head. I made no decision. Actually, every decision after that was terrible. Look at the footage. That baby ruined stuff. It's not a smart baby. But I know now. I choose now. And I don't care who's around, because in that moment when he calls my name, I want to say, I prayed for them to be forgiven, not that I fought back. I laid my life down. I scattered when you said scattered. I pulled up in the cereal aisle when you said pull up. I want to be that guy now. And that means I got to die to what I used to be. Man, this guy was in. Beautiful. He says, look, water. What forbids me from being baptized? He's like, look, there's a puddle over there, bro. Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And he replied, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe it. And he ordered that the chariot be stopped. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. This is trippy. When they came up out of the water, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip and carried him away to a different place. And the eunuch no longer saw him. Wow. The eunuch no longer saw him, but he went his way rejoicing. I mean, what else can you do, right? Imagine like, man, this guy baptized him. You come up, but what? Woo! I'm set free. I don't know what happened to that guy. That's probably angel. Probably tells his friend. Angel visited me. Sure he did. Huh? That was Philip. No, I'm telling you. But Philip, what happened to Philip? But Philip found himself at Azotus. That's about 50 miles away. Imagine you're in the cereal aisle, Cassie. You pull up next to, we're walking outside, and Tommy, he says to you, Tommy, Look, there's water there in that little drainage ditch out back of Walmart. Garbage floating in it, but there's water. And I want to be baptized. And you guys are like, okay, and you're baptized. You're about to ready to take a selfie. And boom, there you are in Florence. What? Philip found himself in Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the good news of salvation to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So I'm not going to be as good as Pastor Justin in this, but follow me. Philip went to Jerusalem with God's peace, right? So Jerusalem means double peace. He's filled up. And then he gets sent to Azotus. You know what Azotus means? Strongholds. When he fills you up, he sends you to places of strongholds. Why? Because you're not just supposed to be filled up and go, well, do you feel the Holy Spirit this morning? Yeah. And then you don't pull up to someone in the cereal aisle. Or you don't pray for your wife when she needs to feel better. And you don't do those things, right? You go to strongholds in your life and you bring that peace. And it says you went to Jerusalem, double peace, ended up in Azotus, which is stronghold, until he went to Caesarea. And here's what Caesarea means, served. Philip will end up in a place where he will serve the gospel again and again and again and again. And again, and love is not own life, even unto death. That's discipleship. I got a slide, I think. His church should be filled and prepared to serve authentic Jesus wherever he sends us. You know, I'm looking to rest in the North Country. I'm looking to see very little humans other than the ones that live in the house with me. I'm open to squirrel visits, love some deer. If I can touch an elk, that'd be great. But if I pull up in the Safeway and I start shopping and I lose all my authentic Jesus that was never real to begin with. Don't bother me. I'm on vacation. Lady's crying. Pastor Sean, she's right there next to her on the floor. She's actually saying, I need deliverance from demons. I go, man, I just came for Pop-Tarts. Come on. Pop-Tarts. They got the pumpkin ones out now. Come on. Can you be sent anywhere to anyone? And if so, are you ready? Like, where's your heart? All of us are expected to take God's word and spirit out there, right? To serve it well. Here's the prayer reminder for the month. Obedience to his heart and to his leading is important. But here's your prayer reminder. Dr. Heidi and I are all going to be gone for a month. If you would be willing to, on your way home, grab a stone. And let it be a prayer reminder for the other rocks that make up this church this month. When you grab your stone on the way home, I want you to go, I'm praying for Jacob. You know what? I'm praying for Pastor Justin. I'm praying for Cassie because she might be in the cereal aisle right now. Take your stone and let it remind you of the living stones that you serve with on a regular basis. And I want you to pray this month, not over your stone, not like, oh, we're praying to a stone, and I get killed on social media. Pastor says stone prayer worship. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's a reminder. It's a reminder. Pray for the stones next to you, and also let it remind you, seek God about this. Maybe it's time to seek God and stop throwing stones at the people who are. Maybe you're prone to be a stone thrower. This is the season to put your stone down and to build. Don't hurt anybody. He is coming back sooner than we think. In Dubai, they're nervous. The church, we got to commit to him. So as baptism candidates and their legal guardians, I'm not sure if my girl's here. Is she here? She's here. I didn't think you guys would be here. Yeah, you can let Hannah know and you guys can join in the meeting. But anybody baptism candidates that want to come, we're going to meet in the office. And then I'm going to change your clothes. And I'll let you guys, if you want to celebrate them, just give them some peace. I want to pray us out in a second. But I want to encourage you. Maybe, and I know this is rare, but maybe right in this moment, you're like, man, I see some water and I want to be baptized because I never really made that decision for myself. I never stood amongst the people who watch me and say, I'm a disciple and I'm in. I never did that. And you're like, well, I didn't bring clothes. I'll get the next one. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to challenge you. I'll buy you sweatpants and a t-shirt from Walmart and a towel. I'll send someone with my card over there, and I promise you, it won't cost you a dime. So if you want to be into baptism today and you're like, that's me, I'm pulling up, you're welcome to join me too if you weren't on the list. All right, I'm going to pray us out, and then we can kind of get started with those things. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Man, some of us, if you've been freed because of Jesus Christ, raise your hand. I'm not going to even look out there. There's nothing like that feeling in the world when you finally give him your life. You finally give him your life, and you're no longer under the weights and the sins of things that you've done, and you're completely forgiven. You're so ready to be a new creation because you want nothing to do with what the old one was. If you've ever been freed but from Jesus this morning, I want you to just pray. Pray with me. Because there's people today that are making that same commitment, and their lives are going to change. And not only are their lives going to change, he's going to send those people into places that we couldn't go, and they're going to bring authentic Jesus someplace else in the world. So, Father, this morning we pray for the church, the living stones, here, there, and everywhere. The Mileys, Father. The Phillips. The Apostle Johns. The Cassies. Father, we pray for the living stones of your church that would come together again and build an authentic house for you in the world. When you come back, Father, you see us in full worship, in full work for you, Lord God, without a care in the world because we're sold out to the one and only God. We ask you to bless the church in Jesus' name. Amen.